Episode 155 of I Said What I Said podcast. We are here. We are back. My wig is secured with this scarf. I can't wait to get my hair done. I am tired.
You can't wait. I'm just nervous.
Why?
Because I'm doing a ponytail and I don't know how long it's going to last. No. No. Please. My cousin's doing it, but it's just...
High pony?
High pony. With a frontal. Because you know I love a frontal.
A braid?
Mm-mm. Just supposed to be down my ass giving geisha.
Sasha.
What?
How long is that going to last?
That's what I'm saying.
Is it good hair that it won't be tangly? Oh, okay.
It's human hair.
Okay.
Like, I'm not worried about that. It's like, what am I going to do to fuck up that pony?
You just tie it down. Because
I need it to last. I want it to last. I want to get my money's worth. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Is getting my money's worth out of these goddamn hairstyles. Mm-hmm. It's a lot,
y'all. You just got to wrap it up.
I am. I'm going to tie it. I'm going to tie my head real tight. I'm going to give myself headaches for the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
I could fix her if I need be. Mm-hmm. Just want it to last until the 24th. Okay. That's what I want. We shall see, though.
You think it's going to last to the 20th?
See, I told you.
I
told you. I should have said the date first.
I don't think
it's so. Not.
I don't, okay, well, maybe, I don't know, because, you know, even, like, front, I don't know, because I'm not sure.
No, you could keep a frontal on for a while.
I don't think you want to keep it that long, though.
No, something's going to itch. I get it.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to want to keep it that long. But,
I mean, a bitch stay with a wig, if nothing, yeah. I can pop out with a wig.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, somebody just grabbed the back of this right now, just go flying. That's crazy.
That's what she was tight, honey. Tight.
We are here for another week of debauchery and nonsense, you guys. As per usual, we stay hydrated.
This is not a Stanley, this is Marshall's.
I seen a nice one that's not a Stanley that is half the price.
This was $10.
I bought one from Home Goods for $10. Now ask where I got it. Now ask me where it is.
I love it.
I can't find mine. Can't find it. But I realized that the outside was big, but the inside didn't really hold nothing. It was like one of them trick ones.
Oh, okay.
Like it looked big on the outside, but the inside, nothing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even do
that was
two and a half.
That was a great analogy for life for people.
Wow. Wow.
You just be doing it.
Don't do that.
You just be doing it.
Let me tell you something. If I end up choking Jasmine by the end of this episode, just know we beefing. We beefing.
Okay. You do your word of the day before the song
damn
of the
well
week.
He talks about how we feeling.
What's our you song put it right name? Here. You put it before the thing.
My bad. I apologize.
Well, I'll start off, but my song mood of the week is Tyla, Truth or Dare. And I put that over our Galentine's Day video. I love that. I love Tyla. Like, I love it. I love her.
I foresee her as the next up for 2024. Like, mm-hmm. I see great things coming out of her. Truth or Dare, good Lord have mercy. Truth or Dare definitely is a fire-ass second single. Mm-hmm. But it's like all the songs that she has on there, they go.
Yeah.
They go.
Mm-hmm.
So March 22nd is when that shit drops, and I'm very excited.
Me too.
It's already pre-ordered or pre-streamed in my phone. Do you still buy albums?
No. I don't. I don't know where does it go? Cause you can't.
No, it goes to streaming.
Don't you have to go to another app to buy it?
Not that you go to the app store and you buy music from there.
Oh no, I don't.
The reason why I don't, there's certain artists I would definitely buy their projects. But I need to look and see where I actually have to purchase from. I think you buy it from the app store and then it just goes to whatever streaming device you have it through.
I'm used to the old school. Anybody do it from the computer?
Hell yeah.
But I think you go, I don't know.
We still have iTunes though.
Really?
I don't know. That's not on my phone, but we still have it.
Oh.
I think so.
Hmm.
Because I listen to certain podcasts and they're like, yeah, if you support certain artists, then, you know, buy their album. You guys are just streaming it. They get, like, a penny for every play or some stupid shit. But certain artists, yeah, I'll buy your album. Mm-hmm. I gotta look into it. Because I would buy her album.
I like it.
Buy her album.
No, you wouldn't.
No, it's a debut. Let me not. Come on, you gotta prove yourself now, honey.
But Taylor.
If Brandy dropped the album, I'd buy Brandy's album.
Like, really?
I'm gonna buy Beyonce's album on the 29th.
I sure it comes out the 29th?
March 29th.
That's nice.
You know this.
This ain't Texas.
I removed her from the list because Jasmine doesn't believe in black excellence. she doesn't like when it's repeated, so I had to remove her from the outline.
I was like, again?
Put that out there.
Again?
I need the people to know that.
Again?
Because when you break records and you do what you're supposed to do.
Again?
You're going to jail.
Good for her.
You're going to jail.
Good for her.
You're going to jail. I promise you. I'm going to make sure of it.
You think Sacred going to Marshalls?
That's are you not seeing? Okay. I will say this. And Sacred is Beyonce's healthcare line, hair care line that dropped last week.
I'm going to buy it.
I want to try it, but I'm not going to purchase it until I see reviews that have people have used it for a certain amount of time and people who have damaged hair and the products restored the hair. Because she has not had one bad review that I've seen.
None.
Of course, you're going to have the people that are haters and speculative and saying that the shit is not going to work. However, all the reviews that I'm seeing are with people that actually have healthy hair. Or people that are going to the salons and the hairdressers that are using it. There are people that they're putting it on their clients that they've maintained their hair for a while. So they know exactly the products that they need. When I start to see the reviews of the girlies that have been using it for 4 months, 6 months, 3 months, then that's when I will go and purchase. Because I had saw a Twitter feed with this girl. She's a hairstylist and she gave some salon quality products for certain things that you, if you want.
Yeah.
You want to do veracity in your hair, or I might have been saying that wrong. Veracity. Fuck, you know what I mean. If you have a problem with detangling, if you want your hair to stop shedding, certain things like that, she put out these products. And a lot of the hair care line, Beyonce has a product for each of those things. So I want to see if it would make sense to buy from those other places, or should I wait? Because I want to get my hair back healthy, but I need to see damaged hair come to life from
the only products. The only thing I'm going to do a little bit more research on, because I keep seeing like half and half, and I probably maybe have to ask like somebody that's like really like in the hair industry. I keep like, because she doesn't have a conditioner, only a deep condition. Only a deep conditioner. I learned that today when listening to the read. She only has a deep conditioner.
You know what?
So,
and then she has a leave-in, but then she has mask.
Okay.
Would that take place of the conditioner? She has a leave-in. I know she has a leave-in.
Okay. Because I know Crystal said that when, you know, because Miss Tina did her, wash her hair, she said, I think she said, no, baby, like, we just skipped over. Like, I just think they only did, like, a deep conditioning. But I keep seeing that deep conditioning isn't necessary and it isn't good for your hair.
That's what I've seen, too. And I heard that I was taught for years by the natural hair community that shampooing is not good for your hair, but you actually need to use a clarifying shampoo and then follow up with a hydrating shampoo, and then you can do a leave-in conditioner.
So I don't know, and I know they have. I think have like something with rice water in it or whatever.
And
so,
and when I saw that, I was like, "Mama knows what she's talking about," because for years,
rice water is good for you. It just stinks and it doesn't last long.
It does smell bad, but my coworker told me about rice water for years. And I was watching other girls, they've been using it to get that fucking length that y'all go crazy for and the thickness of your hair. Rice water is an ancient thing. Middle Eastern women been using that for their hair for centuries. And you know their hair be going down to their ass. That's where we get our hair from when we buy bundles, allegedly.
You think it's going to be good for like permed hair?
They said you can use it on natural and colored hair. I did see a hairstylist use it on somebody who has color treated and relaxed hair.
Okay.
But that's somebody that goes to a hairstylist because...
I'm saying
contrary
to
what we believe, permed hair don't mean...
Yeah, I'm about to get a... Permed
hair don't necessarily mean completely damaged. Let's be honest. If you're going to be consistent and you have a qualified hairstylist...
Noelle has a perm hair. Her hair is beautiful. Like, it's just healthy and everything. But she goes on a regular.
She goes in that hair salon. It's part of her maintenance.
So I want to see, like... I want to see it. Like, I want to try it out. But like you said, I want to wait to see, like, the people that actually, you know, like, haven't...
If you have damage, I want to see the hair come back to life. Because right now, my hair needs to come back to life.
I'm with it, though, because, you know, Mama Tina been in the hair, you know, like, I'm with it.
She's a hairstylist. Mm-hmm. Shit. And she old school. Come from the flat irons on the stove, baby. Mm-hmm. That's somebody that's going to tell us something. You don't lose that. It's like riding a bike.
I'm with that shit.
And they're hot pressing and, deep conditioning everybody here in the damn, as part of the rollout. You better put your mother to work. Put her on the damn payroll, Beyonce. What the fuck I'm talking about? Shit. We got it to hair. Where is my song mood for this week? I don't even know. I don't think I have one this week.
Okay.
I've been chilling. Music. I'm waiting for new music to necessarily hit me and really come out, but I haven't been going back to anything old, so.
This girl's coming soon.
Who?
Cardi B.
I'm looking for the snippet.
I
scroll past it. I'm going to look it up.
I retweeted it. Yeah, I retweeted it.
Yeah, just send it to me, because I saw it, and then I saw it today. I saw it, but then I was preoccupied, so I couldn't click on it. Then I saw today that it's actually a sample of She's That Bitch, Missy Elliott. And if there's one person that could do that song justice, I think it's Miss Cardi B. I'm excited. I know we're in a sample culture. I know everybody wants to sit there and remake everything. But if you do it right, you do it right. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
I'm with it.
She's a bitch. I really only see Cardi B doing that song over.
I'm excited.
I'm excited for that. They said this is the album year.
Oh, God.
I hope so. Jesus. Lord, that sophomore album.
Thank you, Jesus.
We like ain't gonna 10 years.
Basically, because Invasion of Prophecy came out when I was in Baltimore.
It's 10 years, right? It's not 10.
Girl,
but it's damn near close. We was in college when that shit. We was in college, right?
I wasn't. Hell no. I wasn't in college. Well, I was out.
No. We were out of college.
You were out of college.
Let me not do that. Damn.
Because I was in my studio.
But shit, I've been out of college for 10 years.
So whatever year I was in my studio, that's when it came out. I think it was maybe 2017.
Okay, 17, so 18. Then maybe it's like 7 years.
It had to be 17. So it had to be 17.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Drop them. Unless you're about to Lauryn Hill it and give us one album.
Mm-hmm. She's dropping it. She's dropping it.
She has to. Mm-hmm. She got contracts and shit. So maybe that'll be my song move for next week.
That's when it drops?
I don't know.
I don't even know when.
Oh my God, I gave this shit a date earlier. But it's like, if you're giving out the snippet, you can't play
It wasn't even a snippet, girl. It was like a...
I gotta hear that. But you can't play around too long. If you're given the promise of new music, we gotta hear that.
I'm so
distraught. I know. Yeah. You've been waiting, baby. You've been waiting. You're gonna get it. All right.
I'm excited.
Well, at least we get Truth or Dare from we get Tyler coming. And I mean, that's the 22nd though. That's a while. So we'll see. Did you see the 21 Savage is going on tour with Nardo Wick and...
Nope.
Don't give me the line. Nardo Wick and somebody else.
Nope. Didn't know.
You think 21 Savage could hold a tour on his own?
I think so.
I know he co-headlined with Drake.
No, I think so.
Because
he has a fame. I definitely think so.
No, he has a catalog.
He has a big fan. He can.
15 to 20 minutes that 21 Savage came out with the Drake tour.
Lit.
The shit was lit.
I think he can. But he's like headlining it.
Yeah, it's his tour.
I think so.
Is this last album, which is fucking fire?
I think he can. Yeah.
I think he can hold his own. Mm-hmm. He's not the most enthusiastic performer, but a lot of rappers aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he can do something. I think Nardo Wick is a good addition, but it's somebody else with Nardo Wick, and I'm forgetting their name. It's making me mad.
I wonder who.
It's making me upset. Gunn is going on tour with Flo Milli. I think that's a perfect match.
Okay. I did not expect that.
They said between Gunna and Flo Milli, the baddest bitches are going to be present at that concert.
Yeah.
And I true, wholeheartedly believe that.
I like that. Okay.
Wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Yes. If I could get tickets to that, I would go see that. Because I fucking love
Gunna. If I could get it.
And yeah. Gunna is actually an enthusiastic fucking rapper.
He performs well.
I love his music.
Well.
I seen him in the beginning of his career. Mm-hmm. And he has a catalog as well. Them mixtapes, mixtape Gunna. Can't tell me that's not gonna go down as classic. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. Gunna, and first of all, Glenn ain't canceled nowhere. And Atlanta is a motherfucking live. They said they're not playing his music. They're lying. All them DJs. They y'all don't know good shit. Cause that album last year was one of the best rap albums of last year.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was fire.
It was.
Get over it.
Hmm.
Free Thugger.
Ew.
But let's get into my word of the motherfucking
day. Oh.
It's the day. We gotta work on something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, the word is amalgamation.
Amalgamation. All right, whatever.
Maybe I should pronunciate it.
Okay.
Maybe I should use Google a little bit more, you know?
Amalgamation. Whatever. Amalgamation.
I was reading it. I loved when I was reading. I was like, ooh, this word is different. Let me see what it's about.
Okay.
And then I got the meaning for it. I was reading in a book. I want to sit here and I want to play it.
Amalgamation.
All right. I just started reading Amalgamation. It, bear with me. Please bear with me. But the meaning of
amalgamation.
No, that's going to beat my ass.
Just say amalgamation.
Amalgamation.
There you go.
Amalgamation.
Amalgamation.
Oh my God. Why do I want to say milkshake?
Amalgamation.
The action or process of uniting or merging two or more things.
Okay.
And the book I got it from, it was these two lovers that they had a tumultuous thing happen to them in their relationship that inevitably broke them up, but then they came back and they merged together and they spun the block on one another.
Okay.
It was beautiful.
The action or process of uniting or merging two or more things. Okay.
There you go. All right. I want to use it in a sentence. The amount of amalgamation that allegedly occurred at these Diddy parties are very unsettling and concerning to read higher. About. Oh God, I have to say that again?
Yeah, say it again.
I don't want to.
Please, just one more time.
The amount of amalgamation that allegedly occurred at these Diddy parties are unsettling and very concerning to think about.
There we go.
Did I really need to speak louder?
You did. No, you did. No, you did.
Now I want you to be like, bitch, now you hear that shit.
It needs to be up. Oh, yeah,
because I was yelling.
It needs to be up. No, yo, you just project.
But the things that we've been, seeing with the mergings and happenings, more accusations that are coming out.
Dunzo.
It's just really nasty.
Dunzo.
And that's the type of merging I don't want to see.
Dunzo.
There's a lot. A lot has come out in the last 48 hours. This time around, they're kind of saying some of the stuff is not true. Jazzy has come out and said that Little Rod is lying about his part in the Diddy album and not getting his, just doing his money and what the part he played as a regular producer. Because she was a producer on the album.
Yeah, but
she said that he just came in as an engineer. He wasn't supposed to get any producing credit. And he's claiming he's not getting paid.
Young Berg said he feels sorry for her, so.
And that's another thing.
My thing is, like, me and you could be in the same room with, whatever, and
two different
things, and somebody could tell you one thing. It don't...
Because there's your truth, know nothing. Their truth, and the truth. I say that all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The guy that's allegedly was in the Stevie J video, the actual person, he's like, that's my video, I'm a gay porn star, that's not
the
Stevie J.
The white guy?
Yeah. He said it's... No. The person that's supposed to be Stevie J in the video, they're like, that's not Stevie J. That's my porno. I'm a gay porn star.
Did he put it out?
The actual video? No, but he said...
No, did the porn star put out his video?
He said, that's an old video. That's me in that video. I'm a gay porn star. I don't know if he's still practicing that, but he said, my porn star name is Knockout, and that's me. That's not Stevie J in that video. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of weird discrepancies. There's a lot of...
I just feel like anybody can be paid for. And one thing, I don't like that. I don't like the name dropping either, because it's sometimes it's not safe.
If they didn't come forward, like, why are you allegedly outing, even though he gets on my motherfucking nerves, why is Meek Mill's name in it? That's not your story to tell. You are not supposed to be outing somebody else. If you have
even
this
what's
lawsuit,
his name, I'm like, damn, like,
oh,
Chris Brown.
You outing Usher. You're dropping all of these other names. That's not your place. If they went through something with Diddy, that is their story to tell. So that's why this lawsuit, I get what he's saying, and I get that the allegations might be true on his behalf of being sexually harassed by Diddy and his team. Mm-hmm. But you putting other people out there is not going to make it credible. I'm sorry. This is not the way to go about it.
Nope.
And it does look fishy that he was trying to get a GoFundMe started, and it wasn't to pay.
Rod.
Yeah, it wasn't to pay for how they had first reported it. It wasn't to pay for raise money to get his legal defense to sue Diddy. The money was to get paid because he never got paid for being an executive producer. The Love album just dropped last December. It hasn't even been out 6 months. And people will say it all the time. Executive producers do
2020. When did it drop out? 2022?
23.
Oh.
The Love album was like June of 23.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it dropped it's either fall. It dropped late summer, fall. It dropped right before we went to Antigua for your birthday.
Okay.
Because he's playing that motherfucker over and over again. But I'm sorry if you needed them. If I guess you were supposed to get an advancement. We all know Diddy do shady motherfucking business when it come to money. So, is it your fault that you got wrapped up and now you didn't get paid? Everybody talks about how Diddy ain't paid him. Even motherfuckers still rocking with him. So, I just don't like the fact that with your story, you are outing other people. You cannot do that.
Oh, I didn't know he was doing that, too.
Yes, because I was reading it at first. I'm like, wait, what the fuck am I reading right now? Like, he put in mad names about people that you shouldn't have touched.
Now he fucking shit up.
Like, if your story is true, it's not going to be credible.
Nope.
Like, you putting Carisha in there. You putting all that stuff in there. Did she do something to you? If these people didn't do anything to you, that is not your story to tell.
He said the cousin.
Yeah, right?
To the photographer.
Yes, but then you don't name the person. You say Carisha's cousin. Why are you putting Carisha's cousin in there? Because if Carisha's cousin sexually harassed you, put that motherfucker's name in that lawsuit. Don't put Carisha's cousin. And I don't understand how these lawyers even went about doing this shit. But then again, this is a hot ticket item because, I mean, Diddy is a nasty motherfucker, but it's hot to say something against him right now. Mm-hmm. You got Cuba Gooding Jr. in there, but that one, you know, I think you could have left that. That's a nasty boy. That's a freaky fucking frog.
He's a freaky fucking frog.
The funny thing is, if you go out in New York enough, every motherfucker has a party story with him being weird.
Just dancing, just everywhere, just like randomly out of nowhere.
You seen the video with the girl who was having her birthday dinner, and this nigga comes over and sings happy birthday, moves the waitress out of the way, and they're like, yo, how the fuck did radio get to sing me happy birthday at the motherfucking table? That is one character he has played that he is taking on the persona of.
Baby, drugs will do it to you, and alcohol will do it to you.
Yeah, yeah. That's shown with the Wendy Williams doc. That's I haven't seen it, and I'm gonna be very honest with you. The aspects of dementia and aphasia that she's going through, I haven't watched it because it's very triggering. Because I've seen what Alzheimer's and dementia does to people firsthand, and it's something that can be happening in real time. And it's the saddest thing when somebody is losing themselves in.
It's very sad. And I know. And somebody just reported that the judge that appointed it kind of like gives people guardianship that have like donated some kind of like money to whatever she has. So whatever's going on with Wendy Williams, they're not doing it legally or the correct way.
I don't understand why she would need a guardianship.
They're killing her.
Yeah, why would she would need a guardianship if she has family? And I'm learning about guardianship and things of that nature from personal things that are going on within my own family. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this is not something that you want to even get to the point of having. You don't want somebody that there are specific circumstances where a guardian should be used. But if somebody has family, and don't get it twisted, sometimes family is not the best bet of doing what they're supposed to do. Because we see what happens with conservatorships and things of that nature, i.e. example, Britney Spears. But I don't even know if that's a good example anymore because Mama's is not all the way there. But I do blame her family for putting her in that position.
She just do what make her happy, and that's spin and dance.
It is now, and if it look, and you know what? I take that back, because even if it looks crazy to us, she's happy.
And she writing music, so she fine.
It is what it is. Like, fuck it. I'm going to watch the Wendy documentary this weekend, but I just know that I'm going to be triggered watching it. I'm going to be highly triggered watching
it. It's kind of like, damn, like, hold up. But then I also think maybe because guardianships have to be reviewed once a year.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that whenever they see this, that is not doing her any justice, or her family can use this opportunity to be able to fight legally.
So the family did want this documentary to be put out because they want everybody to see what is going on. So
whatever's going on with the judge, and then whoever this white lady is both of them are white, but whoever the white lady is that's over her guardianship, I don't even think Wendy even knows that damn lady.
No, she doesn't. She can't.
And it's
her
just
mind
not
is so far gone.
It's not good. And I really want people to also be very realistic when they're talking about, you know, Wendy's son, because he is based in Miami. And I had to break it down to like a few people. Like when you hear those numbers, yeah, those numbers might sound wild, but you also have to realize the caliber of money in tax bracket that Wendy Williams is in. And then one, it's not, you're talking about like the Uber Eats? It's not cheap. Why
everybody
it's
was upset cheap. About that. It's,
first of all, he turned 21. So why not have her spend that much money on her Wendy son's Williams birthday party? Wendy Williams has
been fucking
spending money like that since the day one. Filthy, stinking
rich since before this boy was born. Do you, that he is the epitome of silver spoon. Did you not think that his, you think that boy is cooking for himself? You think he's cleaning? You think he's living in Miami in a penthouse?
You think he's living in, you think he's living in like, you think he's living in Opa-locka or something?
Yeah.
You
know?
Like, he's like me watching Real Housewives of Miami, those condos, those apartments, those are going to run you a pretty ass fucking coin.
Those numbers are not crazy when you come and from you the think, lifestyle that they come from.
And you
from.
Think he's Uber Eats McDonald's? No, he's probably Uber Eating from Collins Ave or some shit.
Which he, I mean, he had the funds, or he had the funds to do so. He's actually POA. He's power of attorney.
It wasn't a problem right until this happened. I'm pretty sure she was spending money on her son like that before all of this
I
shit
wanna
happened.
I want to know what you think. Y'all motherfucking kids don't, y'all don't even cook for y'all kids, and y'all think that Uber Eats 80K a year. Go look at you could go look at your DoorDash and Uber Eats history. Y'all spent some money too. Mm. Like, that's not the craziest thing that's been discussed throughout this whole entire process. It's the alcoholism, the dementia that has been brought on, the health issues.
The yes people around her.
I can't trust her. It's the people that love her that are capitulating to whatever she's saying. It's the fact that this woman is losing herself on such a high degree. But yet, still has an addiction to wanting to be in the spotlight.
It was sad because
it was one clip where she was like, I need to get back on TV. And she can't even hold a conversation with her nephew and her son in front of her. But she's addicted to fame.
When she
That's
was in
what
Miami,
we need to be looking at.
Yeah, when you see, in Miami, you see videos of her. When she in Miami, her son is just an alcohol-free zone. She has no alcohol. She was eating healthy. She was drinking smoothies. She was exercising. She looked alive.
And that's
as
why
soon as she go back to New York, they allow her to have that alcohol. And the alcohol is literally killing her. Because I do believe she could be able to function.
Her dementia is brought on by it. Mm-hmm. It's dementia induced by alcoholism.
She wants
as soon as she drinks something, it takes away your brain cells. Alcohol literally eats at your mindset. And yeah, I mean, calling the kettle black, yeah, niggas drink, but it's not like to when you see something like that, it makes you really question it.
Is you make it wonder, and the people around her are not good. How do you have somebody that is you don't know, that's your publicist slash whatever it is, and then you know she's not well to be on a podcast, to be anything. But then you literally look that woman in her face and ask her if she wants to go to the Oscars. You're fucking disgusting. What? You're disgusting.
Everybody is on the mind. Everybody understands that if she gets put out of business, if she doesn't work, then they don't eat. And I'm not giving no excuse to that.
Right.
But then she does have certain rights.
Yep.
She does have certain rights. And her, the thing is, with her kind of condition, is one day she'll be fine, and the next 2 days she won't.
She literally drinks that whole bottle of fucking vodka.
Yeah,
bro.
And I heard that it's not even an aspect of needing the alcohol. Besides that, she actually likes the taste of it. It's like an oral fixation with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she likes the taste of certain types of alcohol. Like, when it comes to the guardianship, yeah, like you said, her son, alcohol-free zone, drinking smoothies, keeping her healthy.
Working out.
But she has an addiction. She goes through withdrawal. She needs her alcohol. At this point, if she stops drinking, she might just end up dying faster. That's number one. Number two, now if you're going to the judge and they're telling you, oh, well, your son, you're saying you don't want to stay with him. You're saying he's a danger to you because you want the alcohol. Mm-hmm. They're not understanding that you're saying that because he's providing you a healthy lifestyle. They just hear that my family is not good. So they're taking her word for it. And the guardianship is going to, the judge is going to grant what's in the best interest of the person that they're trying to put guardianship over. So it's a lot of fucked up shit that's going on there. But I just need people to be a little bit more educated when they make statements.
Ignorant
All of this
comment.
Stuff is just, it's legal. All of it is on a legal basis. You can Google every single thing. If you want to look up what guardianship conservatorships do, you can literally go on Google and you can see it. You don't have to be ignorant in your statements.
If you want to see what dementia does to you, if you want to see whatever, like if you want to see how, whatever.
And until you have somebody that you love don't remember who the fuck you are, you cannot speak on this. Mm-hmm. You just can't. Or when you see signs of somebody losing themselves, little by little, surely but surely, you can't say anything about this topic. Mm-hmm. Her son is 21 years old, And his only real guardian, he has his father, but him and his father do not have a relationship. Mm-hmm. His only parent is losing herself in the public eye in such a disgusting way. Mm-hmm. And this is a 21-year-old boy that comes from privilege. What the fuck do you expect from him? Mm-hmm. Y'all gotta do better. Like, the people saying that this is her karma.
People are stupid. I had to correct people. People are stupid.
I want to know when Wendy Williams destroyed Black America and destroyed all these families. Yes, did she have some moments where she was uncharacteristically disgusting with reporting on certain people's families? Mm-hmm. Yes. And since then, she has had her redemption. She's paid retribution. But all those publications that y'all sit here, the Jasmine Brands, the Shade Rooms, the fucking Baller Alert, they were birthed from Wendy. Mm-hmm. And let's not sit here and lie. The same people that are sitting here saying that this is her karma are the same motherfuckers that run to the blogs every single day. That is their dose of addiction. That is their tea. They need the gossip. They need to be embedded in other people's lives. So don't get mad at Wendy for sitting here and starting a whole entire fucking phenom that y'all benefit from today. Yeah. Y'all love gossip. Y'all love seeing celebrities crash and burn. Mm-hmm. And yes, she started her platform on there, but she didn't stay there because when Wendy Williams was on TV, she cut all that nasty shit out. Mm-hmm. So don't say that this is somebody's fucking karma. That's crazy.
Because that's like saying it for any... I don't know. Y'all gotta do better.
Y'all out y'all mind. Y'all don't have no... And I don't expect none of you... I don't expect people to have empathy. But y'all gotta do better. That's somebody fucking moms at the end of the day. Y'all bugging. Mm-hmm. Wendy ain't did shit to y'all. What kind of karma is this? She about to lose her voice. The thing that gave her this profound platform that she's on. Do you know what... That's like a sick ass joke. It's not karma. Mm-hmm. It's a joke.
And it will prove to you that your job will get rid of you. They do not care. They will move on to the next person.
You gotta bring that money in, baby.
They do not care.
They don't give a fuck about nothing. We doing this Love is Blind recap?
I put it on here,
but it's like...
A waste of time. All I know, I'm just gonna say this.
The Lachey's are evil. What's her
name? Sarah Ann. I would have decked her ass. What's her name?
Yeah, that's her name.
You nasty work. Nasty work. And I'm glad AD got in that ass.
And then, I want to know who keeps putting AD to do the hard questions. I think Vanessa's like, AD, will you do this for me? Because I can't do it. Because you know everybody hates Vanessa. Everybody hated her from last season. Everybody hated her from the reunion, which she did. So she like, AD, will you do this for me? Will you be the host of the show? Because it's like... Why is AD asking Sarah Ann these questions? But then again, fuck it. We need to know what's going on. And Vanessa knows that. The Lacheys are evil, bro. This season of Love is Blind is complete fuckery. It's chaos. And it's not even necessary. It's the chaos that's on screen, but even more it's amplified by the shit that's coming out off screen. They done had about 50 motherfuckers on there that have been in relationships. Yeah. The experiment
they are in relationships.
The experiment is tainted. It's flawed.
You guys did not want to come out there and give like y'all didn't want to find love like y'all didn't.
No, except what's her name? The white couple. Amy and Johnny.
The birth control one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And she's just gonna pop the birth control.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for them.
Fuck it. Amy and Johnny, they're cool. I don't even really want to get into the basis of Love is Blind. I kind of just want to talk about... I just want to ask one question for the AD and Clay situation. Because y'all could go all over social media and find out what the fuck is happening if you haven't seen it yet. Or watch a couple episodes, right. Whatever. Do you think that Clay and AD can make it work? Do you think that they have a promise of a good relationship?
No. Clay is going to have to put in a lot of work.
Yeah.
And AD's going to have to realize a lot of things. She can't keep saving him.
Even if she does put them on the track of saving them, she can't think that's some loyalty that they have to stick by her or do right by her. Because getting through your own shit, you're going to hurt people on the way. Or you're going to realize that you have to do better by somebody else or you have to leave somebody on the way of your story of doing, like, being successful for yourself. Like, it's not... She just wants to fix everybody. And she came in saying that that's what she does. And she literally picked up a whole entire project to do.
A whole project. You're not going to sit here and have me creating DIY projects for you. Be excited.
That was such a cute concept.
And it's still sitting there. And then you still boasting and bragging about this man. No.
I think she's so, like we were talking about in the group chat, she's very, very happy with the idea that she picked a good-looking black man that was in the pods, like, let's be honest, mm-hmm. out of the few that were in there. There was a couple black men this season, but she picked a good-looking black man. Mm-hmm. So she feels as if that's a prize that, even if it comes with so many red flags, it's something that needs to be sideswept. I'm going to have to go through that struggle of, because that's what we've been taught to sit there and endure.
She should have said no, Sasha. She should have, when he literally opened his mouth. No, I'm saying, like, when he opened his mouth talking about, like, the whole body thing, and you said that's a red flag and a trigger for you, that should have just been it.
That wasn't really a trigger for her, though.
That's true. She likes it, because she likes it.
She, mm-hmm. On the proposal, she's shaking her ass in front of his face. She knows that her body is T. Mm-hmm. If she was insecure about how she looked, then that would have been more of a trigger for her. She knows that her body is T. She stood her ground. But even at one point when she was talking to the girls back in the pods, outside of the pods, she even told him, like, should I just, like, tell him what it is? Because you know he's going to be excited for that. But yeah. you stood your ground on saying no. That's not what the experiment is about. They even lovey-dovey. They kiss. They give a little bit of. They give some. Oh. They definitely give PDA.
Everybody just deserve to get their knock blocked off. No, I'm not promoting violence, but
you are.
Why do y'all do that to people? That is mean.
What do you
mean? I'm just saying, like, the way, like, the whole, what's his name, Jeremy. Like him with Sarah Ann.
Why,
like,
do you do stuff like that to people? Because people, like, are fucked up.
It's disgusting. What's his name? Jimmy or whatever. Boy, bye. Bye. Chelsea, bye.
I'm sorry. I can't.
Bye.
I don't have too much smoke for Jimmy. Not with the shit that he's dealing with. I'm sorry.
I'm both. I don't care for any of them.
I never want to defend. I think that no one really wants to give Jimmy credit for the shit that he has put himself through, even though he shouldn't have put himself through any of it. It's like really dealing with a partner that is deathly insecure. People don't talk about that enough. Mm-hmm. And because Jimmy is not a looker, nobody has grace for him. But if it was Trevor dealing with Chelsea, everybody and their mother would be up in arms.
He got,
like,
a motherfucking girlfriend.
Oh my God. And he's another fuck up. But neither here nor there. We'll see what comes out about it. But I'm really sick of the narrative that Chelsea is portraying, the plus size girl that has all these deep seated insecurities, that can't trust anybody, that has to constantly be reassured about her looks, this, that, and a third. And I get that every single woman of that's bigger, they go through it.
Yeah.
Getting bigger, a woman gaining weight, they go through it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't need to be our story every single fucking time. And sound unempathetic.
Well, right.
They'll be like, oh, well, you have enough confidence for the whole room, so you can't tell somebody else how to feel. But you need to learn how to work through those self-esteem issues. You have to. You have to, or you're literally going to destroy you and your relationship. That's just what it boils down to. And but if your partner want to put up with it, if Jimmy want to put up with it, that's going to be a full-time motherfucking job.
Didn't he say some, like, weird flirty shit to that girl, though?
Ooh.
When they was at the what's the girl that they got the kid?
Him and Jessica's interaction was strange.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you're still my number one.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
and he was bigging up, but then Jessica was like, no. Everybody thought that Jessica was gonna come in and try to steal Jimmy from Chelsea, but no, she's like, no, y'all happy together. Mm. You made your choice, stick with it. I really don't know how it's gonna look on the reunion when they play that back, but I don't think I misconstrued that. He said, you are still my number one in reality. I don't understand that. Because you picked somebody else. So in reality, I'm not your number one.
Was my girl there?
Who?
What's her name? The one that was dating Kenneth? Was she there or she wasn't there?
Kenneth.
The black boy.
No.
She wasn't there?
She's not playing around with these people no more.
No, I didn't know. Oh, I know she was just hanging out with them.
No. She ain't.
Because who was that black girl?
She was in the pods the whole time. Shani kept saying, oh, she's so pretty. She's a nurse. But she just didn't have a connection with nobody. They have mad people that, the McKenzie girl that they kept bringing, that Chelsea kept bringing up.
Oh,
that's
one
of the girls
in
the pods. You know, like, you know what they call them? Pod squad or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But
the show needs to be done.
The experiment is flawed. It's
flawed. People are, it's
you're
just
using Love is Blind to get exposure for, I guess, podcast deals and book deals and tours and this, that, and the third. Or you're thinking that you can, a lot of people, I mean, let's be real. We do say marriage is somewhat transactional for certain people mm-hmm. of a certain color. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then marriage needs to be looked at as a business. Maybe they're thinking they could find somebody. Maybe they're thinking they could find somebody that's going to be like the Cameron and the whatever, you know, the from
Laura and Cameron.
Mm-hmm. From season one. And they're going to find somebody that's like-minded where they can get some money. Because we're not going to sit here and act like couples don't make money. Like a couple front don't make money in the social media realm.
It's weird. It's done. It needs to be canceled. Y'all
it's disingenuous, but we live in a society and world of just disingenuousness yeah. now. Like that's just what we live in. It's either you play with the motherfuckers or you stay to your side and you live in your alternate reality. Hmm. It's just what it is. You got to separate this shit.
Talk about it,
girl. We're talking about that. I do have a I See You playette. This week, and this is one is actually a special, just a special prayer that's going out to Hadia Broadbent, that was the very young HIV and AIDS activist that passed away. She was an AIDS and HIV educator. She was probably, if you do know about her, you might know her face. She was first seen on Oprah. The Oprah show mm-hmm. telling her story, being very young, being very
knowledgeable,
articulate. Mm-hmm. And just trying to destigmatize the nasty and negative rhetoric around mm-hmm. having HIV and AIDS. And she passed away recently
at the age of 39.
So mm-hmm. I do want to say a shout out to her. She's always going to be I See You Play It. Mm-hmm. I remember watching that Oprah episode specifically mm-hmm. and seeing her. And just wondering why people treat people with these diseases so bad. I know that when you're younger, people will say things like, oh, you got the clap, or you fucking around with this thing, or you're burning, and you hear these... these nasty stigmatisms around STDs and these immune compromising yeah. diseases, but you don't know where anybody got anything from.
Nope.
Like, you don't know why anybody stays with anybody, why anybody could be put in those positions. I used to go on forums and I used to read stories about girls who, like, not even Reddit, but it was like Reddit yeah. for back in the day. Mm-hmm. I read this, a couple of stories where girls, like, they had sex with guys for the first time, and then
Jeeves.
Yeah, they got freaking uh-huh. they got HIV and they got AIDS, and they're just writing their story about what happened to them. People mm-hmm. like just trying to spread awareness. I do believe wholeheartedly that the surrounding about STIs, STDs needs to be destigmatized. We are too old to sound so fucking ignorant. When it comes to mm-hmm. diseases.
Yeah,
you know somebody that has herpes.
Yeah,
you do. Mm-hmm. Somebody has gotten chlamydia. Maybe yourself. Mm-hmm. Somebody might have HIV or AIDS, and they won't speak to you, or they won't tell you when they're sick or when something is going on, because you've made a fucking ignorant comment. Mm-hmm. Get over it. People get sick. But shout outs to her, because she was doing that work. She was young and she found a purpose, and she continued to do that work all the way up until she passed away. So prayers to her family. Yeah. And then I do have another one. What did I put? I took Beyonce off, of course. Whatever. So we are in our last days of BHM, and I'm not gonna lie, this Black History Month was ghetto as fuck. But I did see this, and I specifically went and I did a little extra research, because you know how people like to big certain people up, and then you find out, well, he had a very troubled past yeah. or something like that. So you know, I had to make sure, I was like, before I put him on a list. But we're going to give a I See You Player to Warwick Dunn. His mother was a Baton Rouge police officer, shout out to Louisiana, who was shot and died when he was a senior in high school. And his lifelong mission, he raised his 5 siblings in college, graduated, and played in the NFL. And he has since built over 145 homes for single mothers. He's a big-time philanthropist.
Okay.
Trying to catch some words right, dear. He is really into the urban structure, trying to promote urban housing. Home ownership.
Okay.
For single Black mothers specifically, but the Black community in general. So we're going to give a shout out to Warwick Dunn, because right now we already know we want to break generational curses mm-hmm. and we want to do generational wealth. We got to have ownership.
I love that.
We want some shit, some property somewhere. It don't got to be a house, but it got to be property in some
period.
Sense. So shout out to him, and those that are I See You Play and I See You Play It's for this.
ghetto ass black history. Yeah. Y'all showed y'all ass.
Oh, shout out to Don Lennon for fucking.
Oh, yes. No, that was a good one, too.
24.5 milli from CNN.
It's a lot of M's on that. It's like, what they're like 9 figures? 10 figures?
Girl, I don't know.
It's a lot of figures.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of money.
Bitch, I read 24.5 million. Sasha. What do. Sasha.
Give it all.
He never has to work a day in his life again.
Stop playing with people. Give me my
like,
money. Like. Give me my money.
I literally yelped. I was like,
give me my money. And I hope other people that have, you know, that have been through the same situation that Don Lennon has been through, they go and get their coin. I hope so. Amen. As a black man,
amen.
We never get these type of fees. So, shout out to you.
Amen.
Sir.
Amen.
24.5 million.
Damn, shit. Bitch.
Give me $5.
Shit.
Give me $10. God damn.
Let me sit back with his motherfucking feet. I wonder what the fuck he doing.
He's like. In Cabo right now.
He is?
I don't know.
Oh.
I would be. I'll be in Cabo.
Bitch,
with a
I would
cigar.
Not know what to do, bitch.
I'm traveling. Don't talk to me for 3 months. Don't fucking
year,
call
bitch.
Me for 3 months. Just 3 months. I get antsy.
I did not know.
I get antsy. I'll do 3 countries that I've always wanted to go to. Boom, boom, boom. Pack it out. A month each. And then, let's see. We could extend it to 6. Let's see. But I got to come back home. And it's going to get expensive. I got to come back home.
I would be, you know, like those scenes like when you're in the bathroom or a private room and you do that soft scream.
I'm crying.
I
talked about it this week. I don't never cry for nothing. You hit me with a 24.5 million. I'm crying.
What the fuck?
Bawling, sobbing. I'm sobbing.
Like,
I might cry for a week straight.
He could start his own shit up, baby.
He should.
I like him.
That's a lot of work, though. But fuck it. Invest it. Make his own. The Lemon Network. Tyler Perry did it.
Oh, God.
He got his own studio.
That's good. I know. Good for him. That's good. Good for him. Good for him. No, for real. Good for him. That's good. We need more studios like that.
We do. We need more black-owned
studios. It creates jobs for the black
people.
We do.
All of his employees, I heard majority of his employees are people of color.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What?
I don't want to say nothing bad. I just want to leave it at that.
That's it. Sometimes you got to leave it. That's it. That's it.
Hypothetically speaking, let's get into our breakdown. So hypothetically speaking, I saw this a while back on Twitter and it just generated something in my head because the times that we live in, the reality of us dating, meeting new people, you know, trying to cultivate relationships if that's what we want to do, we're probably going to be hit with niggas that
have kids.
Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality. I know some of us don't want to. I know some of us don't want to deal with it. Some of us don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw this, and I want to speak to this specifically, this aspect of dealing with a man that has kids. This girl said, I would like to hear more about the bond Kalia's mommy and Cardi clearly have. This is co-parenting 101, and I'm impressed. So Kalia is Offset's
daughter.
Daughter that he had in a different relationship. Mm-hmm. And then, you know... He's married to Cardi B, unless they...
Whatever, girl. They there.
Mm-hmm. There you go. We don't need to digress. Mm-hmm. So I found that interesting because that little girl is at every family function.
She's in every
family photo and picture. And it's...
Matching outfits.
Matching outfits. If culture gets something dope, it's not like she's the stepchild in this corner that gets the bullshit. If culture's wearing Gucci, she wearing Gucci. It's like... Cardi has taken on the role of stepmother and is allotting her to have the same lifestyle that her biological children with Offset get. And I know that a lot of women, I know that some women, they would not be that nice about that situation. So I do find it intriguing to know what kind of relationship that Cardi B has with Offset's baby mother. Because we might have seen drama between Offset and his infidelities, but I've never seen Cardi B argue with none of his baby moms. And I feel like he has one more or two more.
Two more.
Because...
A boy.
The boy and then the girl. They both have different mothers. And
He has...
He got 6 kids, right? You know, he got 3 with Cardi.
He has 2 with Cardi. Culture Wave and 3. He has 5
I think
he
I'm
has
getting
five kids,
with Sierra.
He got 5 kids.
Yes, because he has the eldest son.
I think he has three boys and 2 girls.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And... You never see her with no beef with them. It'd just be the outside bitch.
I do remember she was in an interview and somebody asked her and she was like, I don't have like a friendship with them. Okay. But not in a negative way.
Okay.
She was like, she just never like, she was like, she never felt like the need to or whatever. It was never any hostility between them. I'm guessing because that was dead and gone with Offset and them.
Yeah.
Like relationship wise. Okay. And she just was like, she never like.
But there has to be a mutual respect.
It has to be, hell yeah. And I think I feel like his son's mom said like she loves Cardi. Like, probably, you know, does. I think, yeah, just the aspect of how like she treats her kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Cardi treats them kids like they are her own. They be all up in that house all together.
Yes, Cardi's a Libra, and that's what we do.
That's not necessarily true.
Who you don't know? You know a Libra that don't do that?
I just want to get into these questions.
Oh my God.
I do love the kids. Don't get it twisted, but relax. Let's not put that on all y'all.
Speak for October. Yourself.
Speak for yourself.
October Libras.
Okay. I guess.
October Libras.
All right. September might have something to say. Just saying. Mm-hmm. So now if you found yourself in a relationship with a man that has a child or children, one, do you believe that you and the child's mother need to have a cordial or a good dynamic for you and his relationship to excel? That's the first question that I have.
For me and him to excel?
Mm-hmm. For you guys to be on a positive standpoint, for you guys to have a...
Oh my God, what the fuck is that? That was fucking dumb. Come here, Rocky. It's okay.
We don't know that man. We don't.
The fucking light. What? The lights. Bitch, I ain't. What the fuck?
It got nothing to do with nothing.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
In order for me and him to excel,
Excel have a good blended situation. A blended family situation. Not like. Do you just think that you and the child's mother need to have a good dynamic, have to have a cordial
situation? I think we should, because it sets an example. Mm-hmm. It sets an example, you know, for the child. You know, like, I really do. I do.
Okay. I agree with that. I think that we need to be realistic, and that you do need to know who your partner was with before. I don't necessarily need to know ins and outs and details.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have children together, mm-hmm. and that's just your ex, then I don't really give a fuck. Mm-hmm. I don't really need to know the ins and outs of who that person was or right. who that person is. Now, I do want to know, like I've said on here, I do want to know how you guys acted within a relationship with one another, because mm-hmm. then it can tell me and give me some insight into the person that I am actually yeah. currently pursuing or in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to children, I do want a cordial even friendship with the person that is the mother of the
child. I don't necessarily need a friendship.
I would like it to get to that mm-hmm. point if it could. It does not ever have yeah. to. Especially if it's... I will present that. I will be forthcoming with being like, listen, I would like us to get to the point where we are cool. I'm not talking about necessarily... I mean, if it gets to the point where we go out for drinks, I'm cool with that. Some people will never do that.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. I just feel like I have all the friends that I need.
No, and I don't need a friend.
If we're cordial, we're cordial. And if someday you randomly text me a funny, relatable TikTok and we conversation kiki about that or whatever, that's fine.
That's some friendship. Or whatever. Bitch. Or that's you deep. Know,
I mean, no.
Yeah,
not really.
TikTok. Sharing TikToks is deep.
Or something maybe that like happened regarding the child or whatever and okay. stuff like that. That's fine. I just do feel like it is. You know, it is good to, you know, be cordial and, you know, just to, you know, I do feel like also like have that open, you know, dialect with stuff. But stuff like that gets like tricky, you know, when it comes to certain things or whatever. So I would probably, people. Yeah, and I will, you know, whatever. If we're cordial, you know, just, I don't know, like, it's, I don't just, what I get mean? Flustered sometimes.
What do you
like,
mean you get flustered?
Like just like, talking about it. Cause it's people just get a little wacky. when it comes to stuff like that.
I think that's having a negative outlook on it.
People do, I mean, certain things.
That's why I said you need to be realistic about it.
If me and a guy, whatever, we live together and stuff like that, it might come to a time where it's his time, his turn to pick her up, and he's not able to, you know. Are you going to allow me to go pick her up, for the child up from wherever, you know, they have, you know, wherever they are? It's just certain things like that. But, you know, then it comes to, you know, then it comes to the, like, you know, like the parenting.
But that's why I think this goes into my second question. It's like, what are some things that you would do to set the standard for you and the child's mother to at least have, not be besties, y'all don't have to be friends, y'all don't got to drink, sip wine on the weekends, but to have a cordial standpoint. Now, if she doesn't reciprocate your feelings and your sentiments, then that's her business. She's a grown-ass woman. But what standards would you set, if you would even set any, for there to be the opening for a good relationship?
Just introduce myself, give her my number, you know, let her know, like, you know, if you can't reach him, you know, you could reach out to me. Just, you know, just have the, you know, just make her feel comfortable. Give her, you know, my number and things like that. And, you know, just, I would just ask her, you know, like, what are some things, you know, like, that you're comfortable with, that you're not comfortable with, or whatever. Absolutely. Just, you know, things like, you know, certain things.
I like that. I think a lot of people don't even do that. Like, I know when you're dealing with somebody, sometimes a lot of women will come in and they'll not even on purpose overstep and not even ask the mom certain things that they might be comfortable with. Now, if you catch it, and it's more than once, and it's off the rip that she's saying she's not comfortable with nothing, she don't fuck with you, and then you just got to take that for what it is. Mm-hmm. There could be some resentment there towards the baby father. And in hindsight, you gonna catch the bullshit. She might want your nigga. She might want him back. I get all of those things, and I don't even want to think on that aspect, because at the end of the day, you can want somebody. If they don't want you, then it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to make it difficult for us, or you're going to make it difficult because he's in a new relationship, then that's not somebody that you can be cordial with. That's right. Not somebody that you can even cultivate or even start to have a good relationship with. Mm-hmm. And that is the reality, is that a lot of these breakups and these situations why they can't be a set blended family, or why they can't be co-parenting, is because there is somebody that has way more unresolved feelings than the other person. And it is what it is. It's unfortunate, and the children do pick up on that every time. They go and see it. My mommy don't this, that, and the third. They show it. It showcases, it's mirrored. But I would set the standard by, like you said, I would extend myself even to having a one-on-one conversation without him necessarily being there. Now, my man has to sit there, and he has to forego, and he has to start that conversation. He has to bring it to her attention, because that is the link between the two of us. We wouldn't have a link other than that. But I would share my number. I would ask you what your boundaries are. Are there certain things that you want to reserve for just mommy and daughter time, or mommy and son time, that you do not want me having? Some mothers are really adamant that they don't want nobody touching their children here unless it's them.
Fine with me.
That's fucking fine, because I can't braid. And I don't want to go to the barbershop. And I don't, I refuse to go to that braided salon. So you can have that. That's a boundary I don't have no problem with. I don't want my kids wearing certain things. I don't want them watching certain things. That's you, the mommy. Your mama said no. I have no problem. But like, then I can be stepmom, but I can dictate certain things.
But then also, though, like,
but all with reason.
But no, but also, I would feel, you know, I would feel that, I don't know, I would feel like the man will already know that.
Yeah, but I still want to have that conversation with her. I can understand, well, we don't do this as a co-parenting. We don't have our kids do this, and we don't do that, and we come to this agreement with that. But I still want to have that conversation with her. I do. I don't, like I said, I don't need another friend. I don't need another best friend. But it would be really nice to say that we have a very positive surrounding, a very positive environment that our children can grow up in and see every adult in their life being mature. Mm-hmm. There's no fights. There's no issues. There are no problems. So when you see a Cardi B and she has her stepchildren with her, and it's in an amicable way, it just shows that it can be done. Mm-hmm. It can, to a certain extent. I just think that there's a lot of negative conversation with the baby mama, baby daddy drama, and it just gets nasty out of hand. But It does. And that's why I said, I want to go into this conversation being a realist. Mm-hmm. I want to be realistic.
I'm not opposed to it. It's just, if I could avoid it, I would. But a lot of people, you know, they have kids or whatever. So it's just all about, you know, that also the person that you're dealing with being honest with you in the relationship, you know, that they have with their child's mom.
Don't play with both of us.
So, yeah.
Don't play with us.
I don't know. Trying to avoid it.
Don't say you got to sleep over at Christmas for your kids.
How you know that happened to me?
What? What? Wait, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus Lord.
Years ago, though. Yeah, it was true.
I didn't know that happened. I've just been seeing stories about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to sleep over for Christmas with your kids.
He was doing something under the mistletoe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, Javante Christ.
And that's that man little name for middle name for real. That man.
That man.
But they have made Jesus into a Jesus, male figure. Jesus could be a pineapple for all we fucking know.
God is a woman.
That's what Ariana said, baby. Let's talk about number two. As you get older, what did you realize? And I saw this one specifically. There's a whole bunch of different ones, but I saw this one specifically because it spoke to something to me. It says, non-confrontational people move so foul. People who quote-unquote avoid confrontation are some of the sneakiest people out there. Some of the most hurtful, most detrimental people out there because they avoid confrontation. And I saw a post, I want to say sometime last year, that spoke to me about this girl that was on TikTok, and she had said in therapy she had to come to the realization that she was not doing anything. She was actually the villain in a lot of her stories and a lot of the relationships that ended with her, between relationships and friendships, because she thought that she was on some higher ground with not being
confrontational
or saying she's a non-confrontational person.
Right.
But truly, those people add more hurt to situations that they realize, whether they're doing it on purpose or not. Because a lot of people will say that they're not confrontational and they want to be looked at as the victim in every situation.
Right.
So then that aspect, they're doing it on purpose.
Okay.
But as somebody who has coined themselves non-confrontational when I was younger, because i.e. I didn't have the right language or not know, at points, I did not know how to advocate when I was upset with somebody, or I would just cut certain things off without saying anything or expressing myself. I do agree with the aspects that non-confrontational people can be hurtful in certain situations that they might not know about, but I can't agree with the aspects of us being fat.
Can you give me like an example?
Say you and somebody have been on the outs. You guys have been disagreeing with each other. You have a friend.
Okay.
You and her are not getting along for a while.
Okay.
It's kind of tit for tat. You guys are not really engaging, communicating the way that you used to.
Okay.
It's a lot of passive aggressiveness. Nobody is really saying how they feel about one another until one day that friend blows up on you, starts dishing out a whole bunch of shit that you have done to her that you weren't aware of.
Okay.
That is necessarily her being non-confrontational. For months, you guys have had issues. You guys have had problems. Where you thought it was surface level, she has been feeling something way deeper.
Okay.
And she doesn't voice it to you until something actually hits the fan. So somebody would sit there and say that your friendship ends up ending because of that. Somebody would sit there and say, well, it's her fault because she should have told you how she felt all this time.
Yeah.
Especially when you weren't catching the hints that she was annoyed with you, or she felt that you weren't
servicing, you weren't
serving her and serving the friendship in a certain type of way. Like, I give an example of myself. I used to sit here and be like, well, I don't want anybody to be upset with me. I don't want to be a burden, so I'll keep my mouth shut when people would say things that I didn't like.
Okay.
Would try to make me do things that I never necessarily did not want to do. And when I would open my mouth, it would be maybe weeks after, or maybe even months after. Mm-hmm. And at that point, now I'm looking at this person, and I'm resenting them for those things that they said, for those things that they did, but I never brought it to their intention in the first place.
But do you know how?
And that's the thing. And that's why I got to give grace to people that claim that they are non-confrontational. Because if you are truly scared about how somebody is going to react to something that you're saying, yes, people can sit there and say, well, that's cowardly. That's you being, mm-hmm. making yourself a victim. That's you pacifying behavior and being a pushover. But if you truly do not want to be upset with somebody, if you want to give somebody a chance, if you want to sit there and you mm-hmm. don't want to have the confrontation in your relationships and you're young and you don't have the language for it, then I can't call somebody, I can't call you foul because that's how you move.
Yeah.
I think as you do get older, you start to advocate for yourself. Like, when I was of a bigger size, I used to sit there and I would say certain things. Shut the fuck up. I would say certain things and I would keep my mouth shut on certain opinions, think that I didn't have the voice to say certain things and that I would just be the mute in the room to a certain extent. Yeah, I'd be funny. Yes, I'd be opinionated when it comes to certain conversations, but then when other conversations about, it could be about anything that necessarily, I probably wouldn't have that experience right. because I'm the bigger girl in the room, or like, girl, what you know about that, or your self-esteem, or you have the confidence of this, like, you can't talk about that because you're not in those walks of life. I would keep my mouth shut because I'm like, ain't nobody gonna listen to me in the first place. So then when you do start to feel yourself, when your self-esteem starts to get up, when you start to lose weight, when you start to actually understand that your voice has more opinion than just being a funny big girl in the fucking room, then people don't take you at face value. And when you do start to advocate for yourself in those sentiments, now you the bitch.
Right.
You the bitch in the room. Okay. As opposed to, I've always had this voice, but I can see it now where I used to be non-confrontational, I'm being confrontational.
Right.
People don't expect me to even say anything.
Okay.
So it's just like, I don't think non-confrontational people are foul.
They're not.
I think they're misled in how they're supposed to communicate. Have you ever deemed yourself, do you deem yourself confrontational or a non-confrontational
person? In the middle.
So it kind of depends.
It kind of depends, honestly. Like, I could be in the middle. Like, I would say, like, at work, I'm confrontational. I don't know if it's confrontational because I stick up for myself.
I think it's a fine line with being confrontational and advocating for yourself.
Right.
When do you know when you're doing it?
Right.
Because if you got a friend that's playing in your face, if you have somebody that's playing in your face at work, that's advocating for yourself. That's setting the paper trail, sending them emails.
But if there's a friend that's playing in your face and you approach it, that's not confrontational.
And I used to think it was.
It's not. Let me give an example. I feel like confrontational, I'm going to just say it. It's like, I'm going to just put it Twitter basis. I'm going to say. I'm going to say confrontational was like, you always argue, you know what I'm saying? Always arguing, you know what I'm saying? With somebody on Twitter. It was sometimes some things just doesn't need to be said. I feel like that's confrontational. Mm-hmm. Or it's just,
Or people that are contrary.
I don't know, because if somebody's saying something about you, somebody's fucking with you and you address it, that's not confrontational to me. It's not confrontational because I'm not going to allow you to say and do things to me and don't think I'm not going to say anything. I don't know. I think also maybe confrontational has also been a word that's been deemed negatively
I want to find that video and I want to play it back on here because I did have it saved in my bookmarks, but I think it's been deleted, but I think I can find it on TikTok how she was explaining how being non-confrontational or deeming yourself not to deal with issues and problems, how it really is detrimental to
I'm going to give an example, everybody, like my friend Tyra or whatever, she wouldn't bust a grape. Mm-hmm. So I would say she's non-confrontational because it could be something where somebody would talk about her and she won't say anything. Yeah. I look at that as non-confrontational. I mean, I don't know. Like, if somebody... That's how I look at it as.
This is no shade, but then some people would say, well, then she's cowardly because she doesn't stick up for herself.
Right.
And in the long run, she can build up resentment. She can harbor negative feelings towards people because she always thinks that she's going to be the victim. She's always thinks that someone's going to be talking about her, but she's never going to do anything about it. And if you don't advocate for yourself, who will?
Right.
And that's not necessarily her truth. she might not just be motherfucking bothered with it.
Or she, like, she might not care, or it, like, or if she would, like, she, you know, she would talk to it with us, and that's fine. Yeah. And she can express to her friends that,
she got a safe whatever, place.
Yeah. So my thing is, I just feel like confrontational has been deemed, you know, like, negative or whatever. Some people just, you know, just aren't with it, but don't call me confrontational because somebody's, you know, talking shit, poking at me, and I, you know, address it, and I stick up for myself. I don't think that's confrontational. I don't know.
I think I've come to a healthy medium where if something is bothering me...
What's the definition?
What? Of confrontational? What does confrontational mean? Tending to deal with situations in an aggressive way, hostile or argumentative. That's confrontational.
Okay, so we can say some... Okay, so we'll say it as this. So we'll just say every time, you know, somebody wants to talk to you about something, you're just aggressive. You're just hostile.
You don't take any...
You don't take accountability. You don't take constructive criticism. Okay,
you're not receptive to when people are bringing anything that could be deemed negative to you, when they're bringing it to light about your character. You don't like that. That can be confrontational.
Yes.
Because people are not going to fucking talk to you. Or if you naturally are an aggressive person and people can't tell you nothing, so they're passive with you and everything. Mm-hmm. They let you get your way. Mm-hmm. And I've firsthand experiences with past relationships and past friendships that I've had. I've been friends with very confrontational people. Mm-hmm. But they would play victim and villain at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that would be the problem. And when you, and I can say this wholeheartedly, and I'll put a pin in this after this. I want to say this because I had it in my head and I feel like it's about to skip out of my motherfucking brain right now. What's the heart of brain? No, I lost it.
Okay.
Literally lost it. It was geared towards friendships, but I literally lost it. If it comes back, it comes back. But let me tell you something. I feel like I have come to a place where I do speak up and I advocate for myself in a more mature way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took me a while to get to that point. A little bit later than some people. I do pick and choose my battles because honestly, some shit I'm just very nonchalant about. Mm-hmm. It's just going to roll off my motherfucking back. But if you think that somebody's playing with you and it's been more than once... You gotta address it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's in a nice manner. Even if you're coming from the sweetest place. Mm-hmm. Let them know that they can't play with you.
Yeah.
That's it. There's like she said, nice, nasty. There are great ways to sit there and cut somebody out without even using one lick of profanity. Mm-hmm. Try to hone in and do that. But, damn, I hate when I lose a thought, but that brain fog is with your girl this week. Because it's deep in me. It's deep in me. Okay. I think we got one more for our breakdown. Let me see.
Yeah, you skipped over the middle one.
I did? Mm-hmm. I never know what I'm clicking. Oh, I clicked number 3 instead of number 2.
It's okay.
And why do I number things? I saw this, and I don't know if I want to break it down, but I'm trying to think if I actually understand it. I saw a quote. Somebody said on TikTok, how your kids treat you when they no longer need food and shelter is a direct reflection of how you made them feel when they needed you to survive. Agree or disagree? Mm-hmm. I'm going to read that again. How your kids treat you when they no longer need you for food and shelter is a direct reflection of how you made them feel when they needed you to survive. Agree or disagree? I don't think I agree with that.
Your kids treat you when they no longer need how you treat
I think this is more circumstantial.
Yeah, it's more. I feel I like that's more. Circumstantial. Yeah, that's more circumstantial.
Because if you, let's be honest, there's some people out here in this world. They could have been great parents. They could have had the premise of laying out a beautiful life for their children. And they just created some shitty people. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, what they really don't tell you is that when you get older, in mindset, kind of your parents get younger. Or, like, we just put on the role of becoming the teacher. Mm-hmm. And we got to kind of raise them. And it's fucking
I think it's time changing.
Yes.
And things are different.
So we got to teach them how to adapt to our time.
Yeah, how to adapt. And I feel like that might happen with us, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, I
don't
mean,
want it to, because want you to teach me TikTok this. But I get that's your talent. Mm-hmm. So mama gotta get hip.
Yeah.
But how you treat your parents when they no longer have to take care of you. The funny thing is that I do find myself doing things for my parents that they did for me when I was like with them. Like yeah. when I could not take care or I could not fend for my motherfucking self, when I had to cook, clean, mm-hmm. or when they had to cook, clean, set this, take me to school, all this kind of structure, I feel like I do set those standards, but I just think it's circumstantial. I've seen some people who their parents were shitty to them, mm-hmm. gave them nothing, and they still would give their all to their parents. Mm-hmm. That shit is just, it's real sad. Yeah, it's like,
circumstantial. It really depends.
It just comes from the place of who you are as mm-hmm. a person. I think somebody said in the comments that I think it's the morality of who you're dealing with.
Yes.
Who are they morally as a person? Mm-hmm. They are just some fucked up people out here.
It depends, because you could have, you know, not been a great parent, and then when, you know, that your child no longer needed food or shelter, they could just carry on about their business.
Yeah, like...
I feel like it depends on, you know, it
or
depends.
You were a good parent and your kids still don't give a fuck about you. Because yeah. morally, something didn't add up right here, and it's no fault of your own, right. because at the end of the day, we are who we are. Mm-hmm. We are who we become. Mm-hmm. We are who we make ourselves. And if your reflection of your fuck now your do I believe that your reflection of parenting does shape your kids in a way? Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. It's our first standard to humility. It's our mm-hmm. first standard to yep. characteristics of mm-hmm. who we are. Mm-hmm. When we're being raised by certain people as kids, we don't know who we are. We are mm-hmm. mirroring behaviors that we are taught, how we are being raised. So if you are a shitty person, not necessarily that your kid is going to be shitty, but they will take some of those characteristics and they'll cultivate it into who they are.
Goodness, sometimes it's parents that have been positive and then their kid just decides to go down the wrong road.
Yeah, like what are you saying? They're shitty. You made a shitty kid.
Like, it just like...
It's sad. I mean, that's why I say I don't think it's a reflection of how you treated them when they were with you. It's just who your child ended up fucking being. It sucks. It's unfortunate.
Sad.
It's sad. But the the parental anxiety that I think about when I think about having kids is real.
Anxiety. Oh my god! Like,
and can you have parental anxiety without kids?
Yes, you can. Because okay. you see everything. Everything. You hear everything. Girl, I'm already planning shit, and I ain't got no kids. I'm doing no sleepovers. I'm praying to God, the universe, that my partner, whoever I have a child with, I pray, like, you know, hopefully his mama or grandma or, you know what I'm saying, somebody, you know, could be able to, you know, watch my... It's a lot of scary things.
The whole notion of it takes a village.
It's true.
It is true. And we absolutely need to get back to those standards. But the way that society is set the fuck up, I don't know how that is going to work. Because everybody is every man for themselves, every woman for themselves. No, there is no sense of community anymore. I saw a kid, there's a kid over by my parents' house. His dad will be like working on a car, he'll be outside. He's playing outside by himself. I'm like, why is this damn kid playing outside? We used to do that. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing outside and if I'm going down the street to my neighbor's house, you know your parents were cool.
Yep.
You leave your front door open, come back in. Y'all could, I know where you at. Mm-hmm. Call up what's and what's name. We don't even know our neighbors now.
Neighbors, it's not the same. It's kids not the same even playing anymore. Outside. No.
I can't, girl, I'm not no, having my kids never, sleepover nowhere.
Never.
My kids are never going
never,
to a sleepover.
Never. And then when I see, like, people say, you know, like, they were never allowed to go to sleepovers, I was like, I always went to sleepovers. And thankfully, you know, nothing ever...
Yeah.
Happened to me. I always ended sleepovers early because I was a scaredy cat. Like, they always put scary movies on and I was done.
I hate that shit.
And then my mom, they all, like, so I'm, like, you know, I've experienced that and I've never experienced, nothing, you know, traumatic or anything has happened to me or whatever. But now, it's like, no. Like, I don't even,
And the funny thing is that a lot of people that, even when they were going to strangers' houses for sleepovers, a lot of shit that happened to people were in-house. It was in the family. It was somebody that they knew.
But not even that.
And that's the sad part. We got taught stranger danger, but never got taught to the signs of when somebody in, like, when they build trust with your child and, mm-hmm. and shit of that nature. Like, I'm going to be honest. I know that it takes a village and you want to have the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the friends, the godparents around for your child. But there's a lot of motherfuckers out here. They ain't not gonna be able to talk to my kids. You gonna see them. We'll be at family functions. We'll be here and there. But you'll be out of your mind if you think I'm leaving my kid alone with you. Because your mindset is fucked. I'm sorry. There are certain people that they're not gonna have
one-on-one time with my kid. Just speak to your partner about it. And just, you know.
You're not gonna have one-on-one. Mm-hmm. If my partner got a weird-ass, not a weird-ass uncle, but got a brother that's a fucking idiot who's homophobic and says stupid shit. Like, that's your brother. My kid don't gotta be around that shit. You're not gonna expose my kid to nothing that's anything hateful. I'm sorry. I know motherfuckers that they grandparents, the kid don't sleep over. Because the parents are stuck in their ways and they nasty. I'm not faulting you for that. You're not about to spew bullshit around my kid.
We have to just, you know, just...
It takes a village, but you gotta really build your village from the ground up.
You know, trust the, you know, people, because you want to be able to have your child, you know, go off with their, you know what I'm saying, like their grandparents for a vacation. Yeah, they have to make those social connections and stuff. So, yeah, so it's just, I've been blessed to never have to experience that, so I just hope that will continue, you know, like with, you know, my kid or whatever, that they won't, you know, have to experience anything, you know, like traumatic like that or anything. Because there is hope out there. There are non-nasty people out there, so I just, I hope. I don't want to keep my kid away from, you know, isolate them.
I'm not going to isolate them. I'm also going
to protect them by, I'm going to ask questions and things like that. That's why you also have to be careful, you know. I mean, you never know, because people could present themselves one way and be something different, but
yeah, they,
you
have they, to also... They gain your trust, yeah. And then they do it just as a manipulation tactic. I want my children to have the family structure and the closeness that I had with certain family members and certain cousins when I was growing up. But even as I get older, certain shit that transpired and happened to me when I was younger, I don't see my kids being left alone with nobody. I just put it at that, and we could put a pin in that.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't have the trust in me. And especially the way society is going. There's no humility anymore. There's no humanity. I keep saying it. I don't have faith in it. Like, it's really sad. And maybe I'm adding to it by not, like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm bettering it. So I guess I can sit there and call myself out. Like, so if you think there's no humanity, what are you doing to
bring back that positive light? But then you won't have your child around those people.
I won't. But then if I'm really thinking about it, I think from what I'm even looking at now, I'm going to be a very sensitive parent. I think I might have a problem with that. You know those parents that you can't tell their kids anything? Like you can't say nothing to their child. You can't.
Oh, Lord.
I think from where I am, I'm going to be one of them. I think from where I am now, and it's probably some shit that I'm going to have to work out, because I'm probably projecting from things that I had to deal with when I was a child. And I would try to nip it in the bud if I ever do get a bun in the oven, but as of right now, it's going to be high and by with a lot of shit.
Okay.
That's just the way it is, because... And I'm not even talking on a stranger standpoint. I'm talking about, like, with family. They be nasty.
Okay.
They do. And they be stuck in their ways, especially the older ones. You're not being homophobic around my kid.
Yeah, if you already know those people... You're not being transphobic around my kid. You already know those people that you would keep your kid away. You don't have to, like, what do you... That means you would probably have to avoid...
Certain
family reunion, certain events,
things of that nature.
Certain things. Make sure that, you know, if your child, like, say, is with your mom, you have to just make sure who your mom is. You have to just, you know, just check every, you know, everything, you know, every check every box with it.
Yeah, and that's why I want to come from a standpoint of being, for as open-minded as I come off, I do have a fierceness when it comes to thinking about being a parent, and I just... That's what I said. My parental anxiety drives up. That's why I go back and forth with one to bring kids in this motherfucking world in the first place. Because it's just, it's a lot of unwarranted stress that don't seem that much fun. I mean, yeah, kids, they're beautiful in the aspects of family. And they be cute. And just growing up and cultivating a great person and raising somebody to be amazing. But
it's a lot.
Yeah, I know the bullshit that can happen.
It's a lot.
Let's move on to miscellaneous question. Which one are we doing today?
What is it?
We got the first one is binge by ear. And then the second one is lure them in.
Binge by ear.
Bam.
That is in my bookmarks. I already know. So I'm going to head on over to Twitter. But yet, I click TikTok. I want all these apps off my phone. Let's see.
Addiction.
Because I know the premise of it, but I would be saying these miscellaneous wrong sometimes. I'll be getting upset. Boom. Boom. Oh, I got some funny shit for next week.
Let's hit it. Let's hit it. That did not mean for you. I was not snapping.
Hey, third member.
You come here.
How you doing, sir? I think I'm going to have to remember this by mindset, because...
Watch out, but you knocked the mic over.
For people who listen to full album, what's your favorite album to binge over and over?
Please do not. My favorite album to binge over... Man, these fucking songs. Shit's fucking on me off. I will say, I mean, it's probably going to say it over and over again, but Brandy Full Moon. I will binge that over and over and over and over and over and over
and over. You're trying to get back
to my good graces? And Emancipation of Mimi over and over and over again.
Wow, you really trying to get back in my good graces.
I love Emancipation of Mimi, Brandy, Full Moon. Like, I love it.
The funny thing is I had to. It's three. But I feel like it's two because two come from the same artist. So, Brandy, Never Say Never, and Full Moon.
Okay.
That debuting and that motherfucker soft. It's so good. It's the vocal Bible. She is the vocal Bible.
She did that.
Like, those two albums can be played cooking, cleaning, crying, fucking, whatever you want to do. Now, fucking might be a little different. You might cry during it, but it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you gotta let it out. Release. But it's Never Say Never and Full Moon. If I need to put on an album, I'm gonna go towards those two. And I really, really, to this day, still play 7th Street's Drunken Words, Sober Thoughts.
Okay.
That fucking album is binge-worthy. Play through. Just go back. Like I said, we probably ain't gonna get another 7th Street album for another 10 years like she did with that one. But it'd be well worth it. Okay. Binge-worthy albums.
Yeah, I like those
shows. And another one, Vocal God. Wait. 7th Street.
Oh, yes.
Voice amazing. Yes.
Vocal God.
Pen game through this motherfucking room.
Pen on fire.
Come on now. Act like y'all know. But yes, that was cute little miscellaneous. See, we didn't even argue with that one.
I like that.
Trying to be my friend again with the Brandy. I see what you did. I forgive you.
Cause it's my night. No stress, no care. I'm leaving it all behind. That was very, like, 90s. That gave, like, 702.
Where my girls at? From the front, the back. And if you're feeling that, put one hand up. Can you repeat that? Trying to take my... I don't need that. Hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm here all week. I'm here all week, you guys. Hey, no, I'm actually not.
Hey.
Episode 155 of them things of the...
Podcast.
And if y'all can't catch that, y'all will know soon enough. But like, subscribe, review, rate, watch this motherfucker share. Over and over and over. You share it too.
Share
it. Put it in your group chat. We don't mind being a discussion in the group chat.
Share it.
We don't care.
Share it.
Give your friends something to talk about.
Share it.
Please.
Shit.
Share it. Guys out here doing the Lord's work for nothing.
ASMR. Share it. That's on the video. Share it.
Bye, y'all.